different ways. Do we have Lori from Adelaide, Australia, who came to church this morning? Oh, Lori. Wow. Well, our lesson this morning is about power. That was a great song to get it started. I'm going to tell you a little story about this morning. You know, speaking of power, you know, we have this tradition with the egg thing. You know, you do the eggs and the color and all that kind of stuff. And we do the thing where you crack the egg, you know. And we crack the egg and then the liquid stuff started coming out. So we thought, oh, man. So, no, believe it or not, we thought, well, let's put it in the microwave oven. I figured, you know, it's already cracked, right? It's already cracked, so obviously that's safe. Boom! Power! All over the microwave. You know, the world lacks power. And I want to talk about power this morning. Power of the resurrection. I don't. Y'all watch the show Revolution? Are you into that show? All right. A little pop culture reference there. I watch it. It's pretty cool. And it's about a world where the power went out. It's kind of hokey. You know, these little metal things. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. But it's about a world where they lost the power. And power is one of those things where you don't realize what it is until you lose it. You know, it's like you don't know what you got till it's gone. And because the world lost their power, they can't do anything. I mean, we don't realize how important electrical power is to us. You know, this past summer I was in Conakry in Guinea. And it's a very, very poor city. And at night, they have no electricity. And it's a city of like 2 or 3 million. And you're driving through the city and it's totally dark. It's really weird. No power. But I want to talk about another kind of power, the power of the resurrection. Let's go to Matthew 9. Now, we're going to be reading a few scriptures, more than usual, so, you know, get ready to turn the pages. Maybe we should do a race, you know, who can find it quicker, you know, turning the pages or pushing the buttons. Tonight, and the Tonight Show a couple years ago, they did a race between a guy with Morse code and texting, and the Morse code guy, by the way, beat the texting guy by a little bit. Matthew 9. See, what the world wants is power, but the world lacks is power, which is what, of course, Jesus has to give. Matthew 9:36. Actually, I'll start in verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And this is how Jesus viewed the world, and because it's reality. People were harassed and helpless. You know, people, we put on a show, we have our cars, we drive our cars, we have our nice job, and we look good on the outside, but when you really get into people's life, what they lack is power. Power to change. Power to have purpose, meaning, and life. I once shared a house with a woman who was a doctor. I was at a room there, and she shared something interesting. She said, "You know, I hate vacations." She says, "The reason I hate vacations is because then I have to stop working. And when I stop working, I have to think about my life. And it's depressing, because my life is meaningless." See, that's the world. The world offers no power. And the thing is, you know, it looks good. You look on the outside. It's kind of like you look at other people, they're looking pretty good, and you look at yourself, you go, "Well, I'm a mess." Well, yeah, they're actually a mess too. It's just, you don't know that, right? That's kind of the way it works. Yeah, I'm going to talk about the power of the resurrection. And I'm not talking about 120 volts AC. Come on. I'm talking about real power. The power that makes a difference. That's the Easter message. The Easter message is the power of the resurrection. Now that's power. Let's go to Romans 1:4. Go quick. You're there already. You beat me. Who got there first? Verse 4, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that's power. The resurrection. Now imagine there's somebody who's been dead for a couple of days and you're thinking, you know, I want to raise that person from the dead. All right, let's go for it. All right? You know? I mean, how much power do we have over death? By the way, I have a 3-point outline. Power over sin, power to change, and power over death. That's the power of the resurrection. How much power did it take to raise Jesus from the dead? Can you even conceive of that? I mean, how many volts? Too many volts. You fry the guy. That doesn't work. Spiritual power. And we're going to read in Philippians 3 that that's the power that we have access to in our lives. That's the Easter message. Through Jesus, we have power. What could be more encouraging than the message that we have power in our life? Because the people around us are like sheep without a shepherd. How much power do it take to raise Jesus from the dead? Point number one, power over sin. Let's go to Romans 6. That's going to be our main passage in this section. We're going to be reading quite a bit in Romans. Romans 6, starting in verse 4. Point number one, power over sin. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with Him in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we die with Christ, we believe we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He lived, He died once for all. But the life He lives for God. You know, when we were baptized, and hopefully you have been baptized into Christ, if not, you might want to kind of move in that direction, you know what I'm saying? But if we die with Christ, if we've been baptized, we die with Christ. Oh, dying, I don't know, dying, not, I don't know, that's kind of negative, you know, dying with Christ. But you know, we didn't just die with Christ, we were raised with Christ. What if Christ had died and not been raised from the dead? Well, in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, if He hadn't been raised from the dead, then there were still in our sins. But when Christ was raised from the dead, He overcame death, and He gave us the power to change. It says in verse 6 that He made the power of sin, the sins powerless in our life. In fact, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I really like that passage. 1 Corinthians 15. Starting at verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But if He did not raise Him, in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. But the fact is, Christ has been raised. Yep. I mean, the tomb was empty. Yep. They put the big stone there. They put the guard there. The tomb was empty. And there were more than 500 witnesses who saw Him raised from the dead. In fact, Paul just mentioned that earlier in this chapter. 500. Paul, Peter, other disciples, 500 witnesses, and last of all, Paul. And because Christ has been raised from the dead, sin has no power in our life. Does the world offer us power to overcome sin? Are you kidding? I don't think so. Romans 8. Go back to Romans. We're going to keep going back to Romans. Romans 8, 6 to 11. It's about power. I guess I skipped 1 Peter 3:21. You can read that later. It's about basically through the resurrection of Christ, we have power over death. Pretty cool scripture. Romans 8, verse 6 through 11. It says, the mind of sinful man is death. That's not power. That's me before I was a Christian. My mind, it was death. I was a sheep without a shepherd, helpless, without direction in my life. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Can you relate to that before you're Christian? Did you try to change? Now, there's a time in my life I wasn't really trying to change, you know. But then I tried to change and I couldn't, because I was without power. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Now, how about powerless? How about wanting to have a life that's righteous, that makes a difference, and not being able to do that without the resurrection? That was us. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. You know, I remember, you know, there's a time in my life I wasn't particularly interested in being righteous. You know, high school, college, I was into drugs and doing stupid things and all that kind of stuff. But at some point in my life, junior year in college, I decided, you know what, I want to become godly. Amazing, it just sort of happened, you know, God worked in my life. So I checked out other religions and, you know, and I the easy stuff I was able to give up. Drinking, sex, swearing, that was easy. But how about lust? I didn't make any progress in that area. How about pride? Oh, no, that goes deep. I was prideful. Selfish? I was just about as selfish as I was before. And then I became a Christian. And God gave me power.
Come on.
God raised me to death. I died with Christ. And then the Easter message kicked in. I was raised with Christ. And the power of sin, if sin no longer has power in my life. Now I still sin, and I'm sure you do as well. But the power to change. The world does not offer this kind of power. What's it offer power for? Well, it's power to get an education. All right? The world offers that power. Okay, then you can get a job. Okay, get that power, get a job, and then you can make money. And you can put food on the table. But does that help you to overcome sin? Does it give meaning to your life? No. That's the power of the resurrection. Power over sin. Instead, my life before I was a Christian is more like Romans 7, 14 through 25. And as we read this, I know all of you will be able to relate to this passage. Verse 14, Romans 7. We know the law is spiritual, but I'm unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I don't understand what I do, for what I want to do, I don't do. And what I hate to do, I do. That was me. When I was trying to be spiritual but wasn't a Christian. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree the law is good, as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me. That's the world. That is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. That's frustrating. That's like a sheep. Not too much direction in a sheep's life, you know. They just kind of wander around. Not a shepherd. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's laws, but I see another law at work in my members, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from the power of this body of death? Thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ. Point number two. Power to live a changed life. Let's go to Philippians 3. Power. Real power. The power that we need. Philippians 3. Now, this is an encouraging passage. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. Now, Paul had a fair amount of power. On a scale of relative power of one person to another, Paul had quite a bit of power from the world's perspective. He had the highest degree you could have, great training. He was a charismatic person, had connections. But he said, for whatever is my profit, I now consider it loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death. See, Paul was tapping into resurrection power. How powerful is that? I don't know. Anybody here going to be raising somebody from the dead? Put those molecules back together? You know? Make those worms not be there anymore? That's power. That's the power that is in our lives because of the resurrection of Christ. We can change. There's hope. Think about Peter. Before the resurrection, he had a little fear issue, don't you think? They said, you've been with that guy? Nope, never been with him. Wait a minute, aren't you a Galilean? I don't even know that guy. And then a few days later, he's standing in front of the Sanhedrin and saying, there's no other name under heaven and earth given to men by which we must be saved. What was the difference? The power of the resurrection. That's what happened between those two events. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. My message this morning is, we have power in our life. We need to claim that power. We need to claim that power. 1 Peter 3, starting in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He's given us new birth into a living hope. That's where the power comes from. Hope. There's hope. And even as Christians, we struggle with sin, right? I don't know, maybe you don't, but I still do. But without Christ, where's your hope? Where's the hope to overcome violence in your marriage, a temper, alcohol, whatever it is? Without Christ, there is no hope. What do you have to look forward to? Getting old and dying. That's why my doctor friend that I live with, that's why she didn't want to go on a vacation. Without hope. Let me read on. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Hope gives power. That's what we have in our lives. That's one characteristic of the early church. You know, they were really strange. Because people would threaten them. They'd say, if you don't stop being a Christian, we're going to take your job away from you. And they said, well, you can have my job. It's okay. You know, when there was persecutions, for example, when they started to arrest and throw people in prison and kill them, what would happen is the Christians would flock to those cities. In fact, the elders had to say, no, you can't do that. They had no fear of death. Their life was changed. And the Romans were pretty frustrated. What do we do with these people? They don't make any sense. You can't threaten them with taking away the stuff the world has to offer. Right, because what the world has to offer has no power. They were tied into the resurrection. Point number three, this is pretty cool. How about this? Power over death. You know, everybody dies twice. Did you know that? Isn't there a James Bond book, You Only Live Twice? Something like that, right? I know that's an old book, but I read it. Everybody's going to die twice. You know? Physical death, and then death with Christ. If you have death with Christ, Romans 6, then you have power over that physical death. Either that or there's the second death. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 20. I don't really want to be involved in that other kind of death. Let's go to Daniel 12. I want to leave you with some encouraging thoughts. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we don't even need to fear death.
Amen.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, awesome.
So what can they do to you? What can the world do to you? Can they take the power away? Only if you let them. Daniel 12. I love Daniel 12. Any excuse to read that passage? All right, great. Verse 2. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will wake. Some to everlasting life. Others to that second death, right? To shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. Those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Do you believe there will be a final resurrection? Now, there's a part of me that doesn't really believe that. It's like, I don't know. I mean, come on, how can you... You know, your rational mind tells you that's not likely, you know? To me, I don't want to be cremated. It's kind of weird because, you know, if they burn my body, you know, how's that going to work? You know, the final resurrection. All right, you know, the carbon atoms are going to be spreading out, you know, carbon... How are they going to reform... How's that going to work? But you know what? Jesus was raised from the dead. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. Let's read about that in 1 Corinthians 15. Last year I gave an Easter lesson. We talked about the Feast of First Fruits and how that was a harvest festival. But it was a harvest festival that was a celebration of a harvest that hadn't happened yet. It was like a harvest festival which represented faith that God's going to bring in the harvest. And we learned that Jesus was raised from the dead on the day of first fruits. Why? Because He's the first fruits of the dead. He's the promise of a future harvest. Let's read about that in 1 Corinthians 15. Starting in verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And Paul says, if you don't believe it, go back to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4, and read about those witnesses. If you don't believe it, ask them. They touched Him. They ate fish with Him, and so did He. But if Christ indeed has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What that means is, His resurrection is a proof that we too will be raised from the dead. But according to Daniel, some to everlasting life in Christ, and others to death and everlasting contempt. Not a good thing. More than that, Verse 21. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. but each in its own turn. Christ the first fruits, and then when He comes, those who belong to Him. Then the time of the end will come, when He hands over the kingdom of God to the Father, after He destroyed all the dominion, authority, and power. See, all the power of the world will be destroyed by the power of Jesus Christ. And when He comes back, we will be raised from the dead for eternity. That's pretty awesome. So, you know, you fear losing your job. Well, you know, you can be raised from the dead. You fear what your parents think about you if you make a commitment to be a Christian. Well, you're going to be raised from the dead. You know? The things we fear, they kind of pale in comparison to the fact that we have power over death. Jesus, the first fruits from the dead. That's pretty awesome. Let's go to our last passage, John 11. Come on, John. You mean the Apostle John or me, John? Which John? All right. Come on, John. Apostle John. Yeah. Good job. This is about the resurrection of Lazarus. You know, one of the things Jesus had a habit of doing, He'd say, I have this power. And then He'd prove it by doing something. He says, you know, I'm the bread of life. And He makes bread. You know what I'm saying? He said, I have the power to forgive sins, and then He heals that guy. Well, this is a pretty good one here. On His arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Smell was coming out. Hopeless situation, right? Yeah, that was your life. That either is your life now, because you've not yet been baptized, or it was your life before. Come on. You were like Lazarus in the grave. And the worms were eating your body. You had no power. But Jesus can turn that around, can't He? He certainly did in this case. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Mary heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet Him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said, if You had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know He'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will live even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in Me will never die. Do you believe this? I'm going to ask you, do you believe this?
Yeah.
That's the resurrection message. If you'll give your life to Christ, you will live even though you die. Just like that song, Power. Yes, Lord, she said, I believe You are the Christ, the Son of God, who comes into the world. You know the rest of the story, right? Jesus said, Lazarus, come out, and Lazarus came out. Do you believe that you have power in your life? Because the message of the resurrection is power over sin, power to change, and even power over death. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Amen, church. Let's stand up.
Thanks. Jesus has the power over death and over grave.